In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. So when my sons were younger, I, along with others, coached their t-ball and their baseball teams. We weren't very good, but we had fun. So anyway, one of the things I constantly reminded the boys was stay focused. Keep your eyes on the ball. We've all heard that if we played baseball or softball. Keep your eye on the ball. Or when you're catching the ball or throwing, or when you're catching the ball, rather, someone's throwing to you, keep your eye on the ball. And this is very important with especially young boys who are often distracted. And sure enough, at least once or twice during the season, they weren't focused on the ball. They got hit. Maybe sometimes right in the forehead, and lots of tears and angst by the parents and so on and so forth. But that's not the point. The point is that keep focused on the ball is what we would tell them. And same thing happens for us maybe if we're working on some project or we're particularly trying to do something that requires intense focus, like hammering a nail. If we're not focused on that nail, when we're swinging that hammer, we all know what could happen. Something bad could happen. We could get hurt, or worse, some tragedy could befall us. So when you're dealing with a dangerous task, when you're either chopping with a knife or driving a car, you want to stay focused so that you can do that job or complete that task well and safely. Now, our Lord in today's gospel message, one that's once again very familiar to all of us, had a powerful lesson to teach his disciples that night on the Sea of Galilee. Your faith, like every other component of your life, requires focus. Because without focus, in this case and in our lives spiritually, without focus, there is no faith. Our faith is often challenged. Faith's most basic definition is trust. But if your trust is scattered all over the place, if you're not focused, it doesn't actually trust in anyone or anything. Our Lord urges us, the Holy Spirit empowers us and strengthens us and helps us to keep our faith's true focus. Our gospel that we just heard picks up right where we left off last week. Jesus had just learned of John the Baptist's death and went, as the gospel says, to a deserted place by himself, meaning he was off on his own spending time in prayer. But his popularity was rising, we heard in the gospel, and the crowds were determined. They found him, and Jesus had compassion on the crowd, as we heard in last week's gospel, and he taught them, he preached to them. But the lesson started to go long, and the people were hungry. They needed food. And rather than sending the people away to find their own food, Jesus miraculously provided a full meal for them with just a few portions of food from the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. He fed, as we heard, 5,000 men, and besides that, women and children, and many people have numbered that, anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 people. And so now, today, after this event, we heard that while he's praying off by himself, the disciples are in a boat. Now, one interpretation from the fathers of the church is that the boat is a metaphor for the church, the body of Christ, which we as Orthodox refer to as the ark of our salvation, the nave, that which literally where we are sitting here today, but spiritually the body of Christ, the ark of our salvation. The boat has sides to keep us safe, and it floats in the water to keep us safe from the waves and the storms of life. If, of course, you stay in the boat. If you leave the boat, you could very well perish. And the meaning for us is that if we leave the ark of our salvation, if we leave the body of Christ, spiritually, we could very well perish. The boat is the life in the church. Everything that has to do with being a Christian, our statutes, our ways of thinking, our ways of living. The reasons for all these things are for what? What are they for? Is the mind of Christ, which should be in each one of us, from the time we were baptized and chrismated, from the time we were very young, and hopefully and prayerfully we had godparents and parents who raised us in the mind of the church, in the ark of our salvation, all the way throughout our life in Christ. For without the mind of Christ, we become lost in the stormy seas of life. Now the disciples, as we heard, were in the boat, and it was beset by storms. Christ was on a mountain praying deep into the night. The Gospels say in the fourth watch of the night. And this means between roughly 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So very, very late or very early, depending upon how you look at it. But in the fourth watch of the night, very deep into the night. So he comes to them after the entire night of prayer. And we find another interpretation of the lesson. That is that the night, and we hear this not just interpretation of this gospel, but we also hear this when? About the deep watches of the night. During Holy Week, the first three nights of Holy Week, the bridegroom services, midnight, during the night. And the interpretation of this is this period of time is an indication of our entire life. If we are to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, then we must endure throughout the night watch, throughout the entire period of our life. Not somewhere in the middle or even at the beginning. We have to endure to the end. We have to endure in the boat, in the ark of our salvation, in the way of life that is the Christian way of life, the Christian way of believing, the Christian way of acting, of changing one's soul and heart to be godly, to be godlike, as St. Athanasius said, all the way till the end, all the way till the fourth watch of the night. The disciples struggled in vain against the waves, we heard. Yet the Lord does not immediately still the waves. He certainly knows this. He certainly saw this, but he didn't immediately calm the waves. Why? St. John Chrysostom, in one of his homilies on this passage, tells us, the Lord delays rushing to the rescue in order to teach us that when we are suffering sorrows or pains, we should endeavor and endure to bravely endure them. We should endeavor to bravely endure them, rather than asking to be immediately free from them. We see and experience this reality often in our lives, do we not? The Lord knows that nothing causes people to turn to Him for aid and comfort as quickly as does adverse situations, especially even when it's sudden. And yet, He is there. Just as He was for the disciples, He is there for us. So Christ comes to them walking on the water, and their response is what? Not, there's the Lord. There's our Savior. He's come to help us. But they were frightened. Yes, they should have immediately recognized and realized that it was Christ, because they were once in the boat with Him before. They were just with Him right before this event. When a storm arose, He wasn't walking on the water. He was asleep, but they knew that He had command over the elements. He rebuked the winds and He rebuked the sea. But they're human, and their faith was still not tested and proven, even though they were in the boat. They were following Him as best as they were able, and God was revealing Himself. Jesus Christ, as God, was revealing Himself, His divinity to them, bit by bit by bit. And as we read the Gospels, we see this. So they were safe. Although it was still perilous for them, it was dangerous for them if they left the boat. So they see Christ, and Peter says, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. And Jesus asked him to come. He didn't say, stay in the boat. Peter asked, and he bid him to come. Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk on the water himself, but when he saw all these external elements, the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, as we heard, he cried out, Lord, save me. He lost sight of Christ. He became so preoccupied with the trials and tribulations, he became so preoccupied with the waves and the wind, that he forgot the goal. He forgot the solution. He forgot Jesus Christ. But we know that Jesus Christ reached out and saved him. Now I tell you, I identify with Peter far more than I'm really comfortable admitting. Maybe you do too. I don't always trust God. I don't always trust that His will is being done in my life, and that He's working everything that happens for my eternal good. I think that my own strength needs to protect me or to work things out for myself. And then I don't know what to do when my own strength and my own power always proves to be lacking. There are storms on this sea of life that you and I, we just can't deal with all the time. These waves are crashing in on us. They're threatening to drown us. Perhaps at those times, you and I, like Peter, we lose our focus of our faith. We're more likely to focus on our problem or on our challenge or on the issue that's before us rather than the solution to these problems of life. And that solution is He who stands right in front of us, right there in front of us, Jesus Christ. Focusing on Jesus Christ and not ourselves. Focusing on Him in the liturgy, in our prayers, in the sacraments, in the Eucharist, in confession, in unction, in our service, not only the services, but our service in His community, in reading of Scripture. This is the essence of the gospel reading that we just heard today. And indeed, it's the essence of all the Scriptures. Chapter 12 of the Epistle to the Hebrews, for example, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus. The Greek word that is used by the author for looking to Jesus is aphorondes, that which is of no concern. Looking to Jesus, which means to fix one's gaze on Christ by turning one's eyes away from everything else. I know how difficult that is. I told you, I know how difficult that is in my life. But it's essential. That's the message of this gospel. Looking to Jesus and turning away our eyes away from everything else. The more difficult our tasks in life, the more frightening the conditions are in our life, maybe the more essential it is that we look to Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes on Him. Peter shows us a better way to responding to the sudden awareness that we are sinking. He simply calls out. Probably he was yelling, Lord, save me. This is surely a genuine acknowledgement by Peter that he knows that his life is collapsing under its own weight. He is falling into the sea, that he's headed downward. In crying out for Christ's help, Peter shows that he does have some level of faith. But it's not the strength of his faith that saves him. Now this is, I want you to hear this. It's not the strength of Peter's faith that saved him when he was falling in the sea. It's the mercy of our Lord. And even though none of us walks on water, we all stand in constant need of the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing, Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison. Hundreds of times we do this, whether it be in our corporate worship or our private prayer. Lord, have mercy. It's why the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, is at the heart of our spiritual life, of our spiritual vision. We focus on the Lord's mercy so much because, like Peter, we are constantly tempted to turn our attention elsewhere, to think that what is really important or necessary or urgent is life is something of our own creation, of our own importance. What happened to Peter? Well, what happened to him can happen to each of us. He became frightened, his faith was shaken, and this happened because he stepped over the side of the boat. He got out of the boat. And what a profound lesson is hidden for us here. In our Christian life, there should be an evenness, a quietness. And for this to be so, we must never step outside the boat, the ark of our salvation. We should never step outside the body of Christ. We must keep living in the body of Christ. We must keep living in the Christian life. We must keep in the boat. And even though if we find ourselves amid the stormy seas of life, as we will be able to cry out just as Peter did, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. And He, the merciful one, will stretch out His saving hand to us too, just as He did Peter. And we will find ourselves in the boat of the church, in the body of Christ. And a great calm will come over us. Truly, truly, safely in the boat of the body of Christ, let us stay focused on the author of life to guide us home. Amen.